Now, I wonder if the boys and girls, the younger ones, I know some of you get excited when I have questions like this, but who can tell me who these characters are? I think they're quite easy. Who's that? Noah.
Winnie the Pooh.
That is Winnie the Pooh. Now, can you tell me, what was the name of Winnie the Pooh's friend, his human friend, not all the other friends? Can't remember.
Robin.
Christopher Robin. Well done. I think that was Ezra, was it? There's one more character coming up.
Woody.
We had a hand up and a different voice spoke. That confused me there. Now, who was Woody's human friend? And Noah.
Andy.
It was Andy. Now, here's one that some of the younger ones might struggle with. Who was that? Eden, your hand was up very quickly. E.T. That is E.T. Can anyone remember the name of E.T.'s human friend? Oh, well done. I didn't think anyone would get that. I had to look it up to remember who he was. You know, these are three very different stories, but in each of them, you have a character from another world who comes to befriend or be part of the life of somebody in this life. Each of them are great stories with great friendships, except for one big problem. They're all imaginary. Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin were based on a real Ted toy and a real boy, but they weren't real. The whole story of Woody and Buzz Lightyear, I don't know, that might keep you awake at night if you thought your toys were living and talking to each other. But again, it's a friendship that isn't that real. And E.T. was this creature from another planet. Again, all great imagination. But the problem was that all these characters have a very different nature from the people that they were friends with. One's a toy, one's an extraterrestrial, one's a complete cartoon. They're not the same kind of stuff. They're not the same nature. And one of the miracles we read about when we understand the Christmas story is that God has come to befriend us and to make friends with us. And to do that, God became human. He became one of us. I was going to ask the question, what do you think you are? But I thought that could be too complicated in the world we live in today. But we are human beings. God has made us human. That's our nature. That's what we are. And at the heart of the Christmas story is the amazing truth that God was born a real human baby. The same as every other human living in this world came into the world in the same way as a real child with needs and with pains, with joys, with happiness, with sorrows, with all the difficulties of growing up, all the challenges of being a person in this world. God experienced it in Jesus Christ because God came to befriend us and to make friends of us. And he's not imaginary, and he's not pretend. He's very real. And when we understand the kind of friend Jesus is, we understand how much we need him as our friend, and how much his friendship can change us and transform us. We can have all kinds of friends, and boys and girls, your parents will warn you at times about the friends you have. Because sometimes friends can damage you. Friends can lead you in wrong directions. Friends cannot be a good influence on you. Technology is not your friend, we discovered this morning. Sometimes friends don't help. They hurt and they harm us. But God came to befriend us, to do amazing things for us. And this morning, Amelia and Eden read for us two parts of the Bible, written hundreds of years apart, one from Isaiah, one from Matthew, one that was a promise and one that was a record of that promise being fulfilled. Hundreds of years, the promise was made, and then hundreds of years later, the promise was fulfilled. I know it's hard waiting for a promise to be fulfilled, for us to do what we promised to do. But God's people even learned how hard it was to wait for him. But eventually, God showed he is always true to his word and his promise was fulfilled, not as everybody expected at times, but exactly as he had planned. And if you were listening to the reading in Isaiah, you would have heard that it was a difficult time that God was talking about. It was a time of darkness. It was a time of trouble. It was a time where there were all kinds of problems. It was a time specifically, the Bible tells us, where God's children were turning against God and rebelling against God. And God warned them and challenged them to come back to him. But if they didn't come back to him, they would be punished and they would be judged. And in the midst of these warnings, when it looked like they weren't listening to God, he did also promise that he wouldn't abandon the creation he had made and the people he loved, but he would come to them in a very special person. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, all these wonderful names you find in the prophecy of Isaiah addressing God and describing God, Wonderful Counselor, and so on. But what I want us to think about today is the way in which he said, to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And that's what we had being described in our second reading, when Joseph had the dream and was told, this is God's promise being fulfilled. This is God coming in the special person he had promised, God being a real human. So I want us to think just very quickly about what that means for us. Well, in the first place, the Christmas story reminds us that God is here with us. Emmanuel, one of the new names we discovered in the New Testament reading. God is here with us. God is not just a distant God where we never really know what he's up to or what he's like. He's a God who has chosen to be with us and come to us. Even though he is almighty and he is all-powerful, this is the miracle of him becoming a human so that he could show us just how strong his love is and his desire to be among us and to be with us. So that even when he comes in the spirit, which we can't see with our physical eyes, we remember the story of Jesus and we're reminded this is our God who comes to be with us. He's the God, secondly, who as a human shows us that he is understanding of our lives. It's an amazing thing if you have a friend who knows lots of things about you and still likes you. That's a real friend. The person knows the worst things about you, but is still faithful to you and sticks with you. And you know, Jesus knows everything about us. He understands us, and he shows his love for us. He comes what, in a way, we say he has identified with us. He knows what it's like to live in this world. He knows what it's like to be challenged. He knows how hard it is at times to obey God when the world disobeys him. He knows what it's like to be bullied by people. That's ultimately what happened at the end of his life. People turned on him. People bullied him. He knows what it's like to be disappointed and let down by people. He knows what it's like to lose friends. And Jesus, in his word, tells us that this was God's purpose, so that we would have someone who is able to empathize with our weaknesses, who's been tempted in every way, but he did not sin. And that leads us to the next thing about why it's important that our God became human. Because our God was making a way back to himself. Our God came to make a way for the human race to come back to God when the human race had failed under its first great leader, Adam, and he led us away from God. And every leader that came after him, and we thought, well, this could be a good guy who leads us back. No, they messed up. One of Israel's greatest leaders, King David, and everyone thought, this is the best king we could ever get, and in terms of the earthly kingdom, he was, but he messed up. And we suddenly realized every leader, every man, every woman, they're all messed up. Who can ever lead us back to God? Well, God came to do it himself. And that's why this amazing story at Christmas time should humble us and make us so thankful that in a world where everyone has all their problems and failings, There's one person who came into the world who was free from sin, free from failure, who lived a holy and obedient life. He comes to lead us back to God. And part of what he does in doing that is he atones for our sins. He's atoning for the wrong that we have done. You know, I think we understand this. If you sometimes listen, boys and girls, to when adults are talking about bad things that happen in the world, whether it's governments or whether it's corruption in business, you'll hear someone say, someone has to pay. Someone has to pay for this. And you know, when humanity sinned against God, it wasn't a small thing. It was a massive thing. It was a terrible thing. We denied so much about the glory of God and the goodness of God. We believed the lies about God rather than the truth about God. And we continue to do it in this world. And we might think, well, who's going to pay for this? Who's going to put things right? And what the Christmas story tells us is that God came as a human baby to grow into a man, to be the perfect leader who could pay for it, who could pay for our sin, even though he had no sin himself, that he could be the perfect sacrifice. He had the power and the worth to make up for what we had done wrong. And the great news of Christmas is that God is human to be our friend and to promise us that he is never going to leave us, never going to leave us, never abandon us. He knows how painful it is to be abandoned. That's what he experienced in his death. He knows the pain and sorrow of feeling forsaken. And that's why his promise is to be with his people. That's why Christmas is so wonderful, that in the midst of the darkness and the gloom, we have God's promise to be with us and to help us, to forgive us and to renew us as we open our hearts to him. Let's pray and then we'll sing our closing song. And boys and girls, I've got a little surprise for you. After we pray, I'll tell you something you need to know for the end of the service. But let's pray first of all. Father, you know how difficult it is for us at times to live in this world. And you don't hate us for that. And you don't despise us for that. In fact, you came into the world and you know what it is to watch your Son live in perfect obedience. And so it is in his name that we look for the help. The help to deal with our sin, the help to find hope, the help to know your love, the help to experience forgiveness, the help to be made new, the help that everything Jesus promised to give, that we would receive it. He came, the light of the world, stepped down into darkness. In the light, in his light, there is life for all who receive him. And so we pray, God, that this Christmas, which is a difficult time for many people, we know the world is struggling in so many ways. As we know of the warfare, as we know of the poverty, as we know of the difficulty. Lord, it was to such a world you came. And to such a world you made a promise. To a world that was rebelling hard against you. You said that a light would shine on those who live in darkness. And so in a world where there's so much going on, Lord, that is denying you and hating you, we pray for your mercy. To shine the light of Christ upon human hearts and bring us to salvation. So God, be with us this Christmas time. Be with us all the time. Draw us ever closer to yourself. Prepare us for the glory which is to come and save us from the darkness that belongs to those who reject you. And all we pray for is in Jesus' name. Amen.